That sounds a little bit too raunchy for this podcast, I think.
That's the worst thing that we've said on this podcast.
Fuckity bye.
Yes.
That's not going to make any sense.
Mm.
Sessionable. So, this is our barrel-aged beer episode. So we're gonna drink some barrel-aged beer, talk about what it does to beer, and yeah, drink some, talk about it, and it'll be fun.
That
pretty much covers it.
Yeah. Let's get straight into the first beer.
Yeah.
Which is I think this must be the first Evil Twin we're having
on the podcast. Show. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, cool.
So, I liked this beer before it was cool.
It's the Sonderho hipster.
Well,
ale.
Even to make it even more hipster, like, this is the original hipster ale. Ooh, before yeah. the can hipster ale came
hey,
out.
Yeah.
So, this is back canned. When Evil Twin was still a Scandinavian brewery.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, right now, we're
so
also,
it is, this
we're
is
also
like,
all like sipping on double ristrettos. And,
riding a fixie.
And listening to Macklemore and Ryan.
Or Arcade Fire.
Or Lord.
Lord, yeah.
We're listening to Vance Joy.
You realise, Adrian, this episode's going to come out, like, quite a while after.
Yeah, in 2014.
Yeah, yeah, so it's the Evil Twins Sonderho Hipster Ale, which yeah. is a wine barrel-aged hipster ale.
Mm.
So 12%.
There's, like, several different hipster ales, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. There's two that I know of.
Yeah.
No, there's quite a few. So there's, it's basically, they're named after hipster neighbourhoods all yeah. over the world. So,
Sonderho is in Denmark?
I'm pretty sure it is, yeah. I guess it is.
Yeah.
There's a, because there's a Williamsburg one, isn't there?
Oh, yep. That's an American one.
Right. I think the list is Istedgard.
Which is Norway.
Yeah. Södermalm.
No idea.
Williamsburg. Shoreditch.
London, yeah.
Trastevere and El Raval.
Trastevere is Rome.
Yeah. And El Raval.
No idea.
Somewhat Spain.
Yeah. This is yeah. why they're hipster places. Nobody knows about
them. Well, yeah, because Trastevere is like the hipster centre of Rome.
Yeah.
Was it Shoreditch? Or?
Shoreditch, yeah.
Shoreditch is most definitely the hipster centre of London.
I'm surprised there's no Portland one yet.
Or a Newtown one.
Yeah. Or maybe there is, but we don't know about it yet.
No, nah, yeah. it's not Newtown. It'll be like Marrickville or something.
Marrickville,
like that.
Yeah.
Glebe,
yeah,
Ghoul. No, Forest Lodge. No, no.
Forest Lodge.
Yeah, or maybe just the Melbourne.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
So yes, I always get confused with the older Evil Twins because they say then the bottom imported by 12% LLC. So I think every single one's 12%, but it's actually only 5.5%.
Yeah. I was wondering when you said it's 12%. I was like, no way.
Check it out. Yeah, the full says down the bottom in like big bold letters, 12%.
That is a bit weird. Yeah. But this is I remember having this one. I think from a can.
No, I think the can
one
is a different
one. No, the
one.
Can one's different.
Oh, okay.
So
right.
The can one was one of the first beers that we got here that was US brewed. Evil Twin.
Oh, okay, so it must have been this
straight
one. It must have been this one that I had then.
So this one was yeah, because like I said, this was one of the last ones they brought out to Australia, brewed in Denmark, of Evil Twin.
I don't remember it being this funky though.
Yeah, this is super funky.
It's really nice. It's not like it's not sour or anything, but
it's a bit tart. Like
a little bit tart.
I've had it for a while,
but the nose is just super nice.
Mm.
Like for if you like funky stuff.
So it says on the label wine barrel aged. Has anyone figured out?
It'd be white wine.
Yeah, maybe. It says
I'm not
white
sure
wine,
what
wine... Aged for 4 months in white wine barrels and then dry hop with Citra, Summit, and Cascade.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yum. So yeah.
It does remind me of like, what was I drinking lately? The Chardonnay barrel aged Prickly Moses or something?
Well, just the Chardonnay IPA?
Chardonnay IPA, yeah. Which,
yeah.
But that's not actually barrel aged, isn't it? It's
yeah.
It's actually cut with Chardonnay.
That
but that has that bit of that same tang that this
yeah,
has got.
Yeah, that was
going
very
on.
Divisive.
I liked it. Yeah.
A lot of people hated it.
Mm. It's probably on the other side of the fence to you guys.
Yeah, didn't
I wasn't
like
the
it.
Biggest
yeah.
fan. I wouldn't say
I can
it.
See why people don't like it, but like, you know, I liked it. I like Chardonnay, I like beer. So
yeah.
It was a
no-brainer for me, so. Yeah.
We will do a Chardonnay episode eventually. But anyway.
So why is this so funky? Is it, like, it's from the wine barrels, yeah? Would you say?
Maybe. I'm not sure what exactly they do with it.
Depends on their process. It could be...
To make it funky, it could be that they just use the wild yeasts inherent in their barrels.
Yeah.
Or they might inoculate it with their own wild yeast, depending on what barrels they use.
Yeah.
Either way, there is some wild yeast involved in this. And I think part of that barrel aging does contribute to that funky character one way or another.
Mm. I'd probably say it's inoculated, but it's a guess.
Yeah. Only people did research.
Not on this podcast.
Yeah.
Except
me.
So everyone likes this beer?
Oh, yeah, this is great. Yeah. It's better than the last time I had it.
Yeah, this is delicious. Yeah. Now, what would you... Because I don't think the hipster ale in the can...
That wasn't barrel-aged. That wasn't even a town like this.
No, that was just it's just the straight hipster ale.
Yeah.
Have you guys tried that, like, that one?
Yeah, that was around quite a fair bit, actually.
I can't remember. Because I remember having this
I know Frankie's had it.
If you had it in the can. We had it at Tap House.
Yeah.
I think I might have had it at Tap House, actually.
Yeah.
So that's just like a sort of an American pale, and this is a barrel-aged version of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, are there any other beers you guys can think of where you have had the, like, kind of the regular one and a barrel-aged version of it?
I mean, the Doc stuff's probably the first thing that comes to my mind.
His Elixir stuff, which is the barrel-aged version of his beers.
First thing that came to my mind was the Heart of Darkness from Murray's.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that oak-aged Heart of Darkness.
Oh, I love the oak-aged one. Oh, but I love both of them. But the oak-aged one's so smooth.
I just got in at work the Nugna-O Imperial Stout barrel-aged... But it comes in the small bottles. But I haven't tried it yet. But that just came in, so that'd be pretty cool.
Mm. And oh man, yeah. So yeah, Doc's ones were the ones I was thinking of.
Oh, another one. I think I mentioned this before, but the Rex Attitude. I had the Chardonnay barrel aged.
Oh, nice.
Rex.
That
was one of the best things.
Another one. I actually had the Michelin Monk's Elixir the other night. I had the barrel aged version that was brewed with raspberries and barrel aged in red and white.
Because there's a few different now. There's a few different of the monks, right? There's like a, I think it's a Chardonnay, a Cointreau barrel aged.
Yeah. I mean, Mikola loves doing barrel aged stuff, as we'll see very soon.
But I mean, I guess barrel aging doesn't always work if you've tasted the base beer.
Mm.
Sometimes you know the barrel aged version isn't as good. Like one example I can think of is. Epic with their hoppy beers, I don't think are as good as their just straight hoppy beers.
Mm. Yeah.
What barrel aged do they do?
I can't remember what barrels they use.
I mean, I don't know. Like, generally, I would think that hoppy beers would not necessarily lend well to barrel aged.
Especially the type that Epic does, because they're big, sort of American style hoppy
beers. Something you want pretty fresh. Yeah.
I mean, not that they're bad, they're still pretty good beers, but. You know, I prefer the straight.
I do like when people beers. Like when brewers use it more like as an educational idea, such as Doc, where he releases beers, barrel and non-barrel aged, so you can get the idea of what the barrel aging process is doing. And
is doing, because there was the Illawarra released the Jerome as well. Jerome OG, Original Gangster.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was. I thought that was good because that was the that was their it was a version of their. Gab's beer that they then put into barrels and let it sour and it was good.
How long was it under for? It was like six like, months,
yeah,
months,
quite a few
like
months.
That.
It did have a pronounced funkiness to
it. Oh yeah,
it was. I think it's exciting that Australian brewers are, and I think we mentioned this before, but there are Australian brewers that are
doing
barrel
cool
aging
with,
for the sake of making it sour.
Yeah. Like Feral is a, you know, and like maybe not necessarily just for sour, but Feral's done a lot of cool stuff with barrels. The Gab's beer this year, Barrique Karma.
Well, you know, a barrique is a size of a barrel.
Yeah,
it's a cool name. Yeah,
yeah. And then there was there's the Barrel Fermented Hog as well.
Yeah.
Which is BFH, which is, which was delicious.
I like the fact when brewers sort of give you the lineage of the barrel. Like, you know, the first thing that I remember that was like the Brewdog. What status is it? Were they doing all the
Paradox?
Paradox, and,
yeah.
And they'd like tell you it's a, it's like, you know, it's a an iron barrel or
a Jura.
Yeah, a Jura barrel or something. I like when you get
which
the lineage
the
of this barrel.
The Christmas was a rum.
That was a
barrel.
Rum barrel.
I can't remember
where. I don't think it said on the bottle where what rum.
Because
you know, like, it's interesting to learn that Doc's beers are all the old Borealis barrels. So that's, you know, got some pretty good lineage. And it,
well, because Doc named those beers. Doc came up
with
those.
Yeah,
you know, that's so he.
I remember we were at that Ale Stars when they announced it, and Doc was pretty chuffed.
Yeah,
wasn't there some story of the winner getting a trip to Norway? Wasn't that announced?
That was announced like drunkenly by Crafty, I think. As a joke.
And it was taken as law.
And everyone was like, oh my god! I have to name this beer.
So, what would you guys say is, like, I don't know, one of the best barrel-aged beers you've had?
A tough one.
One of my favourites is the next one we've got coming up.
Yeah,
the next one's pretty interesting.
This is pretty good.
But that's a really tough one. I recently had the Goose Island Bourbon County Barrel.
Okay,
That lives up to the hype. A
which
lot
is interesting
of the
because Evil Twin's been giving them a bit of flack lately, hasn't he?
Has he? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't like to pay attention to brewers bagging out other brewers.
Yeah,
because it's just poisonous to the industry, I think.
Yeah,
but
keep it positive.
I've had a lot of the American bourbon barrel aged beers, like usually stouts, and for the most part, like the ones that are well renowned, they have it down pat. I don't think there's any.
Goose Island's been doing
they've been
bourbon
doing
county stuff for how long now?
They opened in 1998, but I'm not sure how long they've been doing bourbon county. Probably for as long as that. But there's no real Australian brewery that's doing it regularly.
As a barrel, as an only barrel age.
Yeah, and like with a specific type of barrel. And maybe because there's so many...
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
There's like so many bourbon barrels available in the US. Like they used to give them away for free because there's no other way to get rid of them. Now they're actually smartened up and charging for bourbon barrels.
Well, because they only use bourbon barrels once, right?
Yeah.
For bourbon.
Yeah, bourbon has to be in a young barrel.
In a new barrel.
New oak,
And then so usually they use them, and what traditionally they did is that the bourbon producers would use the new barrel, and then scotch has to be in a used barrel.
Yeah.
So they'd send them over to Scotland, and Scotland would use the old bourbon barrels to...
Yeah.
Because they can't use young barrels.
I'm getting some sessionable deja vu here.
I think we've had
Willie
this.
Might have talked about this in the British episode. I think somebody
Did
talked
he?
About
okay.
it. Some,
really?
I think
recently.
Willie probably told me about this at some point. I think one of my favorite barrel-aged experiences was... I think it was when Frankie's first opened up, and they had the Michelob Black Buffalo Trace Barrel Edition.
Yeah.
That was like 19.3%.
And the H.R. Fredrickson...
Yeah.
Which was... Was that Wild Turkey Barrel Aged?
There was a few different.
Yeah, it was Buffalo Trace Red Wine. Yeah, yeah.
And that was just excellent. Which probably brings us quite well into the next beer. Unless, what was your... Did you answer the...
Yeah, well, I said this one.
You said this one. Sweet. Cool, yeah. Well, so it's I think the regular version of this is one of my all-time favourite beers.
I think it's okay. I think I like this one better because it's a lot more interesting. In terms of the... So, we're talking about the Boo Goop.
Yeah, Boo Goop.
But I've had a couple of their other Goops, and...
Boo Goop's been the most...
I like at least one of those better than the Boo Goop standard. But I think this is, like, probably the most interesting barrel-aged beer that I've had because of the type of barrel that they use.
So, this one's barrel-aged in Grand Marnier barrels, so the orange liqueur. Which is a really interesting barrel to use, especially for a big... This is a buckwheat barley wine.
It's quite a hoppy buckwheat barley wine as well.
10.4%. Yeah, big hoppy buckwheat barley wine. And barrel-aged in Grand Marnier barrel. So I haven't had this for a while.
I remember getting a lot of brown sugar and...
I remember this like being...
It's like the
last beer that I had in a massive session that we had a couple of...
I think we had it about... 3 in the morning, maybe.
I ended up getting a kebab afterwards. It was amazing.
This is like the crepes is at a barley wines.
Just like brown sugar, isn't it? And
brown
orange.
Sugar and citrus. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a nice, yeah, the crepes is that of barley wines. I like that.
So, I'm going to be honest, I don't like orange in my beer, so I don't actually love this beer, but...
What about a
in
bit
terms
of,
like, in terms of,
you know, Blue Moon or Red or...
Well played. Well played. I am looking forward to that Grand Marnier barrel-aged Blue Moon to come out.
I would drink that.
Well, you know, in the States for Christmas, Blue Moon released a mixed four-pack of their experimental beers.
Don't want to know. Maybe that should be our question to L of a Time next.
Yeah.
What, can you drink Blue Moon and not throw up? Yeah. Could be a video question.
Does adding an orange to Blue Moon make it better or make it worse?
Yes.
Anyway.
We're not so you're not a big fan of orange?
I don't like orange in my beer, but I have to acknowledge this is the most interesting barrel-aged beer I've ever had.
What about, like, orange peel in a wit or something?
I think what Adrian's getting at is more the addition of orange to change the flavour of a beer.
Yeah. I'm just interested.
It's just too... In terms of fruits to add to a beer, it's too distinctive for me to...
For me
to enjoy it.
Because the thing is, this isn't just orange being added. This is Grand Marnier, which is a, you know, quite a tasty...
But it definitely imparts a lot of sweetness into the beer as well, doesn't it?
And I think from the barrels, you get that big brown sugar. Like, this is
Yeah, mellow out the hops quite a fair bit. Brings that dark crystal malt
like right up to the.
Mm.
I will say, compared to what I remember from last time, this isn't as orangey as I remember it. So,
could just be where your palate's at in the night as well. Yeah. I guess.
And it's also this one's been I think aging in the bottle for a bit as well.
That's a new term for BA. Bottle aged.
Bottle aged.
Well, it's a thing. It's you can get bottle conditioned beers.
Mm. Oh,
and
this is...
Yeah, they tend to age better than filtered beers.
Mm. What about a barrel aged beer that you absolutely hated?
Ooh. I can't think of one. Well, not on like short notice like that. Mm. You've got me there.
I think the barrel aged VB I had
was it barrel aged?
BAVB.
BAVB.
Sounds like a sex disease.
Have you been tested for BAVB?
Yeah, because I was just trying to think. Because I don't think if I can think of one that I've actually like gone like, nah, that's just...
Yeah. No, I think it's it's hard to say.
I don't know, there's one at the tap house that came to mind. It's like some Ale Stars beer or something.
Oh,
yeah, no,
here we go.
Yeah.
Picking fights here.
Just winding up, yeah.
The black and tan, I think you're referring to.
Jokes.
It's a good beer.
Should have been called the Shiraz Al Ghul, but...
Shiraz Al Ghul is such a good name.
Should we? So, I mean, we've talked about it a bit with this, but maybe we should talk about like some different beers we've had in different types of barrels. Like what different barrels bring to different beers when it's used. So obviously this Grand Marnier barrel brings.
We said the Black and Tannin was which was in Shiraz barrels.
Shiraz,
which was.
Which is cool because generally, if you're going to use wine barrels, you'd normally use white wine barrels. So.
I think reds are more interesting to use in barrel aging.
Especially with the
definitely in
dark
Australia,
beer,
we're seeing that because we you know produce a lot of Shiraz here. So
So but wine barrels bring out like you know quite a lot of tannins and
red wine barrels.
Red wine barrels do especially. Which I mean that was the point of calling it black and tannin.
But then you have you know like your bourbon or your whiskey barrels, which are more obvious, I guess.
Yeah, like whiskeys like the Aurora Borealis, you'd get this big, like, smoky sort of peaty...
Yeah, you'd get that char and peat coming across. What else?
I think, like going back to bourbon a bit, I think it might have been Jez Fletcher, a friend of the show, but I'm not sure if he listens to the show. But he was saying, you know, the only good thing about... bourbon is that you can use the barrels to age the beer and they work so well for it. And I think it's kind of true. Like
I don't know, man. There's a big trend nowadays towards premium bourbon.
I don't know.
I still haven't met a bourbon that I've enjoyed.
Pappy Van, man. You got to get in the Pappy Van.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe we'll do a bourbon episode after this.
You've got to spend $400 to buy a bottle so we can.
Like every bourbon I've had, I just don't like it. It's too sweet.
No, but I think
sweetness does help, you know, round out beers.
Yeah.
You can overdo it.
Yeah. Of course, like anything, you can overdo it. Like, yeah,
you know, I think there have been beers that people just dump bourbon into rather than properly bourbon barrel aging it, and they haven't worked out. But I think, you know, if you do it properly, it's gonna, especially with the darker beers, it's gonna make it good. So, yeah, props to bourbon for being useful for something.
Ooh.
I strongly disagree. So do I.
All right, we'll have to have a session on bourbon.
Session ball. Ooh. So some other interesting like barrels that have been used. Have you guys tried the gin-soaked Temptation?
I think we all tried it together.
I really like that. Yeah, I think we had a session with that. Not on air, but yeah, we had a session with that, I think.
It was really good, yeah.
I really like that beer.
So, like, are there any other gin beers, gin barrel beers?
Not that I know.
Like, there should be.
Gin's not barrel-aged, is it?
Can be,
can't it? I think they put gin in the barrel.
That was a gin-soaked barrel, so it wasn't a barrel used for
production of gin. It was a gin-soaked
barrel. They got a barrel of soaked gin in it. Yeah,
that is right. And the other one I wanted to talk about was the Mikkola Black, Barrel Aged Black.
Mm.
So this was, Mikkel got his black, which is his big imperial stout, and distilled it down to a spirit, and then barrel aged a version of black in the barrels of the black spirit. So it was distilled black, barrel aged black.
That's some Inception brewing right there.
Yeah.
Yo, dog. I heard you like black, so I put black in your black. So you can black when you're black.
So...
Next beer?
Maybe we'll go on to the next beer, which is... I'm pretty excited for this.
I've been smelling it for the past few minutes, and this is great.
Oh, fuck yes.
So this is the... it's a Swiss beer. It's BFM... I hope I'm saying this right. Abbey de Saint-Bonchien Grand Cru from 2013.
Where'd you get this beer from?
So, I got this from a bottle shop in... Speaking of hipsters. A bottle shop called The Sampler in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And apparently, like, you know, these guys, BFM, a.k.a. Brasserie de Franche Montagne... from Jura in Switzerland, Swiss brewery.
Hmm.
They do a limited export to Europe and the US because they have such a good reputation. But
so what is the style?
This is a weird one. It's a sour, but it's initially fermented with a wine yeast,
mm-hmm.
and then aged in different barrels. So this one's supposedly from four different barrels.
It's a blend.
In rare Swiss white and red wine barriques.
Mm-hmm.
And then after about a year, they blend the barrels together and bottle it. And, you know, while it's in the barrels, I guess it gains that kind of wild character to it.
And it goes through a second fermentation because they added a second yeast.
I think it's the yeasts that are already in the barrels. They didn't say anything on the website about adding any more yeasts to the barrels.
But it says it used a particular yeast.
Priest de Mousse, which is I think a wine yeast.
Yeah, so
that's what the initial fermentation is, and then they put it in the cask after.
According to the producer of that particular yeast, it's a yeast used for sparkling wine. Late harvest wines, so like dessert wines and ice wines.
Mm.
And it's apparently especially good for barrel fermentations.
Well, there you go.
And it's a barrel and secondary ferments.
Yeah.
Because it ferments at a very low temperature.
I'm going to have a taste of this because I haven't had it yet.
It's just got an incredible complexity.
Ah, it also may exhibit malolactic fermentation, which is for the wine buffs out there.
Okay, this is stunning.
this is incredible.
I was trying not to have very high expectations of this because
this is fucking amazing.
Yeah, I love it. So
it's really meaty. It's meaty, but then in the middle, but there's all this around. There's all this sour notes, and
it is quite. It's quite sweet.
It's up there with the farro that we had on the sour episode.
Yeah, it's similar.
Sweetness.
It does remind me
of the farro.
It's a bit light, but it's 11%.
Wow, that does not feel like an 11% beer.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like 11%. Possibly because of the wine yeast. I don't know.
Hey guys, you want to record a cider episode after this?
Memories.
Yeah, a bit more about the brewery. It was started by this guy called Jérôme Rébété from...
Loving your pronunciation, by the way.
I'm not sure if it's right.
It sounds good.
he was a Swiss uni student when he started brewing, and he studied winemaking.
Yeah, cool.
And when he finished his degree, he wanted to start a brewery because, you know, he loved homebrewing so much, but he didn't have the money. So he went into this TV show called...
He wants to be a home brewer?
So you think you can brew?
Le Rêve de Vos... 21.
I think ours were better.
I think I got that wrong. But I think it's like, you know, I think I couldn't get the exact translation of that phrase, but I think it means, like, the dream of your 20 years. So it's for young people who have a dream to start something.
Ah, cool.
And if they win the competition, they get some money. And he won the competition and got some money, enough money to start a brewery, which is BFM. And he's just been, like, kicking ass ever since then.
So we just had to take a quick break to get an official sessionable translator onto that.
Mm.
And Adrian was spot on, so good work.
Well, no, Google Translate was spot on. Although, not spot on for this next one, because on the page of this particular beer, so it details what we've said before, they also encourage cellaring. This is from the English version. And they also suggest serving in a wine or teku glass and matching with something rich and fatty like a duck breast or foie gras, which makes sense.
Oh, that'd be good.
I mean, I should have actually said that before we started this.
We'll just whip that foie gras out of the fridge.
But I did run the French version through Google Translate of that particular beer and food matching paragraph. And here's what it says. In the mouth... It recalls the frame of a fruity red wine with a marked acidity. That's fine so far.
Yeah,
right?
It does. I get that. Yeah.
But beware, I see you coming. No question of me down a bottle of Saint Bonchien out of fridge in glasses. Mustard Pingu. No. Served at 16.5 degrees Celsius in a nice goblet of lamb, accompanying a mouse. Or an epoise, you fully enjoy this nectar.
Nice.
I don't know.
Goblet of lamb. I really want a goblet of lamb right now.
Accompanying a mouse.
Yeah.
I see you coming.
Mustard Pingu, no. Oh my
god.
What
does Pingu have to do with it?
I don't know how Pingu got in there. That was the best Google Translate I've seen in a while. These guys are actually... I went to Switzerland a few years ago, and I had a few different Swiss beers, and most of them were pretty average, but these guys were one of the standouts.
So you have had some of the stuff from these
guys before? But not this particular beer.
Well, according to the bottle, this is very limited edition.
This is their, like, kind of flagship special beer. Mm. I guess, like, the equivalent of their Cantillon Zwanzee, which we've mentioned before.
Mm. It's the spicy edition.
And yeah, I think they try to have special events around this beer every year, like,
nice.
Around the world, like the Zwanzee. So, BFM, if you're listening, Australian event, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really cool beer, man.
I'm pretty impressed with this. I was like, when I was reading about it, I was really excited, but I didn't want to hype myself up, but it's lived up to it.
Do you read about these beers before you buy them, or you just looked at it and go, that looks cool?
So I bought it in that bottle shop in... Mm-hmm. Really cool bottle shop/bar in Brooklyn.
Because some guy with a moustache told you to, right?
Exactly. Some guy with a beard told me to buy it because he'd tried it before and it was good.
And you want to get in before it becomes mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, like, every day the guy, like, puts stickers on beers that are no longer cool and just calls them mainstream.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they go on special.
No longer cool.
Yeah.
On special.
Yeah. I imagine that's how it works. Now, it was a really cool dude, actually. Like, he gave me so many free tasters. Like, he didn't even know me. And I guess he, like, knew that I was from out of town and was very excited to get me to try some beers. So,
cool, man.
Excellent.
Yeah. And this is one of the beers that he recommended. I have to be fair, not all of the beers he recommended to me were great, but this is, like, probably the best one. That
and it's wax-topped as well, isn't it? Is it tape?
No, it's tape. Yeah. That's my muling.
Oh, your muling tape, strategy. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to add, before we take a break, that the name means Abbey of Saint Bonchien, and Bonchien means good dog.
Good dog, yeah.
But it's actually the name of the brewery's first cat.
Bonchien.
Good dog. So the cat answered the good dog. And when that cat died...
When did it become a saint?
When that cat died, they made it a saint immediately. And it became the saint of that brewery.
That's cool.
So that's what the beer name
is. They then get a cat and call it...
Abbey of the Saint of Good Dog, who's actually a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they got a dog and named it Good Cat.
Good Cat, yeah.
Yeah.
Bon chat.
Bon chat.
Yeah.
No.
Chat. You don't pronounce chat.
No. If you say
it's
chat.
It's chat. It's fully chat.
If you say
chat. And I had a good chat the other...
It's actually... chat sorry, is like the vulgar term. Like, it's pussy in French. Whereas chat is...
Okay.
So, chat.
Is a good pussy.
Is pussy.
Bon chat.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
this is going to be
the
cut out.
The Abbey of the Good Pussy.
That's a great name for a brewery.
So, we just poured our last beer for the episode. This is the Hottest 100, number 19, Jumping the Shark from Moondog. I think it's number 19, but, you know.
It was up there. Liam, you should know, you chose it.
Yeah.
This is their...
It was on my tap list.
This is their... Well, is it Cognac Barrel-Aged Truffle Stout?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well picked.
I can't remember what percentage it is.
Truffled Imperial Stout.
Mm.
Yeah.
This is a beer I missed when I was overseas.
Oh, so you haven't had it.
I haven't had it. This is my first time.
It's 15.4%.
15.4, holy shit.
Yeah.
I have to say, my preconceptions of this is I don't like truffles, which is very controversial. So, I'm not expecting to like this beer, but...
I don't know.
We'll see. So, like, while I'm tasting it, what do you guys think about it?
I'm a fan.
I like this beer, but I like, I think one of the reasons why I like it is that the truffle is definitely not overpowering. It just adds a nice earthiness to it.
Mm.
You can't pick up a taste of truffles, but it just gives this richness and earthiness that adds to the beer.
No, it's not... It's not, like... It's not overly prevalent there, but...
Bit too truffly for you, or
no? It's not.
What do you think? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
He's intrigued. It's still a little bit on the cold side. So.
It is pretty cold right now. I'm gonna let it warm up a bit, but
yeah,
it's positive at the moment. I like it.
Yeah. So while we let this warm up, maybe we should do a recommendations round.
Ooh, okay. What are we? That's gonna good, recommend.
I recommend people do a barrel roll.
I'm going to recommend the A-Team, so you can watch B.A. Baracus.
Hey, yeah.
Nice. This is where we're going, right? Fuck, you stumped me now. I don't know why you're doing this.
Yeah, what could you do?
I recommend the original Donkey Kong game.
I recommend that people find their own barrels and try barrel aging something themselves. I've never done it, so I'm talking out my ass, but everyone should give it a crack, I reckon.
Well, I think, like, in terms of homebrewing, the more economical way to do it is just to get wood chips and soak it in your own spirits.
Yeah, but that's how you make really cheap wine.
One of the homebrews that I had was from, I think we mentioned him either this episode or a previous episode, Jez Fletcher and his brother Sam and their friend Rich, who, under the name of Jabberwock Brewing, which is their homebrew thing, they brewed a bourbon barrel-aged imperial stout. One of the best stouts I've had.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because I like them. They've made beers that I don't like, but this was just incredible. I think they based it off the Goose Island Bourbon County barreled stout.
Did they actually age it in barrels, or did they?
No, they soaked it in something, a bourbon beginning with B.
Buffalo Trace.
Belvedere, and it's not Belvedere. Belvedere's vodka. Something beginning with B. Ballantine's, was it Ballantine's?
That's a whiskey.
It's a whiskey, yeah.
Was it definitely a bourbon they smoked?
It was a bourbon. Anyway, it was
awesome.
We'll and I said before, like, he said he didn't really like the bourbon by itself. And the only use they had for it was to soak the chips.
I think bourbon does go well with beer. Just the, the sweetness of the bourbon works really well with, with barrel aging in beer. I think that's my, yeah.
How do we get to this? Like,
we're talking about barrel aging.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone should barrel age something, so.
Yeah, try it for yourself, yeah.
It's actually not that hard to get your hands on a barrel.
Yeah, you can. Like, a couple of $100, but, you know.
But then even, like, there's been some bars. I think the little guy might have done it, and Baxter's definitely did it.
Barrel aged cocktails?
Yeah, barrel aged cocktails.
Yeah, you can buy little barrels,
and you put the cocktail in the barrel, and you let it sit and pour it from there. Like barrel aged old fashions, I think Baxter's had at one point, and yeah, I think that's a cool idea.
Yeah, I had
fun with it.
I think it was a barrel aged Manhattan from Little Guy once.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Have you guys been to Whiskey and Ailments?
Wasn't open last time I was in Melbourne.
So I went there a couple of months ago, and it's a whiskey bar, so they have beers, but it's mostly about the whiskey. And they have, they're associated with the, I can't remember the name, like the Scotch Whiskey Society.
Society.
Yeah,
yep.
Of Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And they're one of the few places in Australia in the world anyway, that has a never-ending cask from Islay. So it's all these Islay distilleries that they kind of top up this cask with, and it's continually changing because they top it up.
So it's not actually a single malt.
It's not a single malt strictly, but
it's a cask blend.
They fill it with single malts, but it effectively becomes
a cask
ever changing cask blend. It was so good when I had it. And most of the whiskies I had there was phenomenal. So I would recommend going to Whiskey and Ailment. Have the never ending cask.
Cool.
So I just got a note from our producer that that Jabberwock Mid Strength, which was what it was called.
Mid Strength.
Great name for an Imperial Stout.
nice.
That was soaked with Booker's
Bourbon.
Bourbon.
Starts with a B, yeah.
Yeah. Check. Great beer.
Great. So maybe we should talk a bit more about the
Jumping the Shark
now that it's
warmed up
a bit. So I love the label, and it's just like covered with faint pictures of the Fonz.
I just gave it a 4 on Untappd, so I like it. It is very complex. I'm happy that the truffles don't come out too much, but they do come out.
But they give it a unique flavour.
Yeah.
Yeah, like an earthiness, I think.
It does
make
it unique, which, you know, gets good points for me. Unique in a good way, not a bad
way. As it warms up, you do get the cognac on the nose.
Yeah. Mm. Well, what do you guys, because we're doing a barrel episode, how do you think the cognac helps this?
I think it's come through quite a bit.
It's definitely quite prevalent.
Because Moondog do a lot of barrel aging, don't they?
Yeah, I think very early. The Skunk Works was one of the first.
That was a cognac.
But that was maybe as far as like bottled production, probably the second beer they released.
Yeah,
it was that one and the Henry Ford.
No, Iron Lung was the first one. wasn't it?
Yeah, no, you're right. Sorry, the original Iron Lung and
Skunkworks was first, but I don't know.
Oh,
they both came out about the same time.
Yeah, they're both like similar vintage.
Yeah, because they like doing some weird barrels as well. What was it? The Mummy had have a bite was Calvados, was it?
Oh yeah, Calvados. I haven't had that one.
So that was it's an apple brandy.
Yeah, it's an apple based brandy. Yeah,
yeah, and so it was like a toffee apple amber ale is what they called it. So that was really interesting, and it did give it like a pretty interesting character from the barrel. And they've used cognac before and
bourbon, whiskey.
Yeah.
Well, the Iron Lung
whiskey.
Yeah, it was rum, whiskey, and bourbon. Yeah. I'm pretty sure were the 1, 2, and 3. I know maybe not in that order, but yeah.
Yeah, so they've done some lots of barrel stuff. Who else is doing some like barrel stuff?
Barrel stuff in terms of
there was the
Australia.
Hop Dog did the red rum, which we've had on here.
Yeah, we've mentioned Feral several times.
Yeah.
We mentioned
Bridge Road,
Doc already this episode.
Red Hill,
Illawarra.
Trying to think.
Murray's we've mentioned as well.
Yeah. It's a few.
Yeah, we're doing all right, Australia. And there's more we've forgotten. There must be. Apologies to anyone we've forgotten.
The
BAVB. Yeah, BAVB. Yeah. Make sure you get tested for that. Yeah. Stop the spread.
Stop the spread of VB. Yeah.
This is like people with like a BAVB in a giant cross through its shirts and just run around pubs and just slapping VBs out of people's hands. No, Gary, no.
Sessionball. So, thanks guys for listening. We're Sessionable as always. You can find us at Sessionable Pod on Twitter.
That's the right one, isn't it?
That's the right one. What's the one on Facebook?
Just facebook.com/sessionable, I think.
I don't think we updated it very often. I don't think we updated as often as the Twitter.
The Twitter.
And what's our MySpace page?
we'll try to get a MySpace page going.
Can you still get MySpace pages?
Probably.
we might be on Bebo.
Yeah, we're just facebook.com/sessionable. Our LinkedIn is... facebook.com/sessionable. If you want to find us on Facebook, we're not. Yeah, we don't. That one we should probably work on a bit more.
If you want to personally abuse us, I'm at Adrian Poor.
I'm at A Study in Beer.
And I'm at The Beer Lebowski.
Cool. And it's been fun, guys. See you later.
Cheers. Thank you.
Fuckety bye.
Fuckety bye.